Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 4. Book of Philippians, chapter 4. Genesis, Exodus, Philippians. You'll find it. My name is Thomas Simpson, and I am privileged to be with this group. I graduated last year, as I told you in the Sunday School Hour, and it's wonderful just to have the privilege to be able to get to know men and women who are serving the Lord and wonderful churches across God's country here. And it's been a pleasure to be able to travel with these and just go soul winning with them and pray with them and be different places. The Lord's been so good to us and given us safety as we've been on the road. Today marks the beginning of our fourth week. They'll travel till Camp Bartimus, which is the end of July. And definitely would covet your prayers as we pray, for safety and so forth. And definitely praying for you, Pastor, as you head up to Greenville today. But as we look at Philippians chapter 4, I'm reminded of a trip. My girlfriend right now, she's on a cruise. She just started with her family to see some different islands in Greece, and then Ephesus and Patmos and Cyprus, and then she'll spend 2 days in Israel. And I said, Amy, 2 days is not enough. You got to go for more. I had the opportunity to be with Ambassador during their 11-day, 13 if you include the travel days, trip last summer. Man, that was a life-changing trip. Just to be able to see the Sea of Galilee, to see Capernaum, to see Nazareth, to see all these different places that are recorded in God's Word, and it just comes to life. But one of the things that I want to mention today as we begin the message is something that happened on the trip back. We flew from Tel Aviv to Orlando, and then from Orlando back to Charlotte. And it was in that flight that a conversation happened. But anyway, how many ever flown before on an airplane? You've flown before? Okay. So you know the drill. When you fly on an airplane, it's like, who are you going to sit next to? Are they going to take up more than their fair share of the seating arrangement? Are they going to snore? Are they going to, here's the cardinal sin of flying an airplane is watching a movie with the sound on. Could you please turn it off, or something like that, or they're playing a game or something like that. But, the question really is in my mind is, okay, are they going to be a talker? Do they want to talk, to say hello? Or are we just going to, sit down, do our separate thing and whatever? Maybe they'll put their Bluetooth in, get lost in the music, or they're reading a book or something. I actually brought a book with me. It was out of commission, a book on soul winning by Paul Chappell. And I was like, oh man, I'm going to read that book, I was really enjoying it and looking forward to it. But then lo and behold, sat down, this person, they introduced himself and began talking. And I was like, man, I don't want to talk with them right now. I want to read my book on soul winning. Well, the irony right there. But anyway, I put the book down and, carved my pride. But anyway, she introduced herself as Louisa, and probably in her 30s, maybe 40s, something like that. Louisa and I began to just explain, where we've been and so forth, and the purpose of our traveling was, told about going to the Holy Land and so forth. And I started asking her about her life. She said that, she was just traveling to Turkey recently, and she's trying to find peace. And I said, well, how are you trying to find peace? And she said, I have these different goals in my life that I'm trying to pursue. The job that she was working at, she did not like. But if she got that promotion, she would like that job. So that was a goal that she had. And part of that was getting her master's degree in that field and getting to that next level so then that she could advance further, in her job place and so forth. And that was something that she wanted to do. I mean, she wanted to travel. She loved traveling and enjoyed going to Europe and different places. And one of the things that she mentioned was she wanted to go to Africa and help children, maybe with humanitarian aid, maybe with education, something along those lines. So I looked at Miss Louisa and I said, all that you mentioned is good. I'm all about getting your education. I'm all for that. I'm all about finding the job that you enjoy and you find fulfillment in, I love traveling. I'm all about that. And I'm certainly for helping kids that need the help. But if you're trying to find peace through those means, you'll never find true peace. She looked at me, Pastor. She asked me a question that I'll never forget. She said, "Okay, how do you find true peace?" What a question. That's what I'd like to look at with the Lord's help today. So we're in Philippians chapter 4. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. It says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So we begin the message today. There's two kinds of peace. There's the peace with God, and there's the peace of God. For someone that's unsaved, like Louisa at that moment, she needed the peace with God. You realize that when you're born, the Bible says you're born dead or separated in your trespasses and sins. The Bible says that we're born an enemy, if you would, from God. We're a sinner by nature. We're a sinner by choice. How many of you, you know, I'm looking at a lot of parents here today. How many had to teach your child how to lie? No takers. How many had to teach your child how to take things that aren't theirs? No, they already knew it, right? You know, it was in them, okay? Well, the Bible describes that. The Bible says, you know, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We have that, if you would, that old nature, if you would. And the Bible says that in order to be saved, we need to call on Jesus. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin and for my sin. He took the punishment and the penalty that you and I deserve. And salvation is simply accepting the gift of eternal life and saying, "Jesus, I realize I can't get to heaven on my own. I need you to save me," and call it on Him to be your personal Savior. And no longer are you an enemy from God. No longer are you separated. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you are justified, made as if you've never been a sinner, and you've been made at peace with God. The Bible describes it this way. In Romans 5, verse 1, it says, "We're justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have that peace with God. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, that's the peace that you need. That's the peace that Miss Louisa needed. And I would encourage you, don't put that off, but call on Him today. If you do know Jesus as your Savior, you have that peace with God. You're no longer His enemy. You're no longer separated from Him. But the Bible says that He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, He moves in. It's called the Holy Spirit, and He indwells you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But we all know that when it comes to Monday, you know, when it comes to, you know, different circumstances in life, sometimes we can lose the feeling of peace. Well, that's the second kind, the peace of God. And how do you find the peace of God as a believer? That's what we're going to look at today. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your self-control be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." He's coming soon. And then verse number 6. It says this, "Be careful for nothing." It says, "Be careful for nothing." Careful for nothing. Michael, does that mean that we should just run across the road, you know, and not look left, not look right? Is that what it's talking about? Yeah. Definitely not what it's talking about. Be careful for nothing. Does that mean that we should just go 100 miles an hour on a 30-mile zone because it's out in the country? No, that's not what it's talking about, you know? Look both ways before you cross the street. Brush your teeth. All those different things, okay? We need to make sure that we do. Be careful for nothing. So, if that's not what it's saying, then what is he talking about? Well, let's break it down. Careful, it's an old word right there. It's talking about full of care. Sometimes we call a backpack a burden, if you would, or a care. The cares of life that we talk about. Be careful, be full of care. Full of, the idea is anxious care. And I look at it this way, be worried. Be worried for nothing. Here's what he's saying. Be careful, full of anxious care for nothing. Point number one is simply this. Don't worry about it. Look to the person to your left. Say, "Don't worry about it." Now look to the person to your right. Say, "Don't worry about it." All right. Some of you just looking into the air. All right. Point number one, don't worry about it. He say, hey, be careful. Be full of anxious care for nothing. You know, there's one preacher, he said it this way. There's two things we should never be worried about. Oh, wow. What is it? Okay. Number one, the things that are under our control. Okay. That makes sense. You know, things that are under my control. You know, I could talk about getting to church on time, you know, in the morning. Relatively under our control, you know, right? You know, sometimes you're like, hey, will you hurry up brushing your teeth, you know, or hurry up getting some breakfast down or something like that, you know, something, you know, can I get to work on time? Well, if I prepare in advance, get some buffer time and all that, you know, I can, that's under my control, right? You know, brushing our teeth. You know, hopefully everyone I'm looking at, except maybe some of the infants or, you know, if you have a handicap, certainly not making fun of you, but we, you know, we can take care of ourselves. We can tie our own shoes, right? I don't have to, you know, worry about that. Oh, man, are my shoes going to be tied when I preach today? Well, it's under my control, right? I can do that. You know, wouldn't you know they're probably going to fall out, right? But anyway, you know, it's relative. It's things that are under our control. I can do this. God's given me the responsibility and He's given me the grace, the strength to be able to handle this, okay? I'm not talking about living a carefree life, but, you know, those things that God has given you the responsibility of, okay? Things that are under my control, I shouldn't worry about them. Why? Because I can do something about it. For instance, we're at a Christian school here, right? Test is coming up, you know? Asa, what's your least favorite class? Math. Oh, man. I loved arithmetic up to algebra. And then when it got to plain geometry, that was just a whole nother level. And I'm just like, that is not me. If you love plain geometry, great. You know, I'll give my problems to you and you figure them out. No, but I just, you know, not a plain geometry guy. But if a test or a quiz is coming up in that class, or even one of my favorites like history, you know, should I worry about it? No. Why? Because God's given me the ability to study. He's given me time. Oh, I don't have any time for that. How much time did you play on your video games? How much time did you spend on social media? How much time did you, you know, spend, you know, all these different things, right? You know, we have the time. It's just what do we invest it in, you know, for some of these different things. Talking about a college student, and I'll be the first to admit, I was not the ideal college student. I would put off assignments, you know, till the day before, or, you know, God forbid, the morning of. Don't do that, okay? All right, I'm telling you, it's not worth it. Your eyes will get bloodshot. You won't remember anything, and it's not worth it. But anyway, you know, something I can do. I can take the time. I can be responsible. I can study ahead. I can do my assignments. It's under my control. I shouldn't worry about it. God's given me the strength. I look to Him for grace. But then the second thing we should never worry about. Okay, all right. Things under my control, should not worry about them. Second thing we should never worry about, the things that are out of our control. Say, man, you know, you're on the road, right? And there's an accident in front of you and things are slowing down and you're going to be late to work or something like that. You know, and I can get so tense and I can just say, man, you know, what is that? And I'm looking up 3-4 different ways to try to reroute my plan and, you know, or my route and get around this and all that and certainly be responsible. But if it's out of your control, then there's nothing that you can do about it. So don't worry about it. But so often, I'll do the exact opposite. If it's out of my control, I grab that burden, I grab that care, and I put it on. I say, man, I'm going to worry about that. What good is your worrying doing? Nothing. So don't worry about it, is what he's saying. Something that's out of our control, don't worry about it. He says, be careful, be full of anxious care for nothing. You know, there's a place in San Jose, California, called the Winchester Mansion. It was built by Sarah Winchester, the widow of the gun company owner. And it was so interesting. She continued construction on this for over 30 years, this mansion, just building on additional walls and rooms and so forth. There's various theories about why she continued this construction. Some people thought that, you know, she she imagined she would be haunted by the ghosts of those killed by her husband's weapons unless she kept building the house. Others thought she imagined she would not die as long as the building continued. Whatever the reason, she continued ordering more renovation and construction until there are, get this, more than 10,000 windows in this mansion, over 160 rooms, doorways, staircases that lead to blank walls. Why? All in a desperate search for peace that was ultimately doomed to fail. And even as believers, we search for peace in equally fruitless means. Sometimes we turn to pleasure, drugs, immorality, money, entertainment on entertainment. Whatever the thing may be, other than God, we turn to try to find that peace in our heart. When that's a peace that passes away, Jesus is offering us the peace of God. He says, "My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He's offering us today here at Grace Bible Church in Milton, Florida, the peace of God. And it comes when we say, you know what? These different worries in life, these different anxious cares, I'm not going to have them. I'm going to give them over to the Lord. And that leads us to our second point. He says, "But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." He's saying, you know what? Don't worry about it, the things that are under our control, the things that are out of our control. Don't be full of any anxious care. But then secondly, give your burdens to God. Give your burdens to God. Whatever it may be in life, you say, you know what? This is a burden on my heart. Just give it over to the Lord. You know, I think about my family back home in Virginia. I have an aunt and uncle, Uncle Tom and Aunt Kim. Aunt Kim's been battling cancer for a number of months. It may be a year now. And one of the greatest testimonies to me is seeing them, and they've just given it over to the Lord. They say, you know what? We're going to seek the right help. You know, and Lord willing, you know, these different treatments will help her and sustain her life. But ultimately, they've just placed it in God's hands and say, God, whatever you want, that's what we want. Just giving it over to Him. Is there a burden that's on your heart? Maybe it's a health concern for you or for your family or for someone that you know dearly. Have you given it to God? Maybe it's a financial struggle. Seems that, you know, there's more month at the end of the money. How are the bills going to be paid? What's going to happen? How's this going to, you know, work out? Have you given that over to God? Maybe it's a family situation. You know, the family unity that was there when everyone was kids is no longer what it used to be. And people are opinionated and all these different things are going on. Maybe there's some strife. Maybe there's some not so kind words behind the smiles at church on Sunday. Have you given that burden over to the Lord? Say, God, it's yours. Just giving it over to you. Here's what he says. He says, "Be full of anxious care. Be worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, coming to God for your needs, acknowledging your need to Him." He says, with thanksgiving. I find that interesting. He just puts that in there to be thankful in everything, no matter what trial, no matter what blessing that we're in life, to be thankful. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. And why does he say that? Because God is the only one that can do anything about it. God's the one that's given you your job. God's the one that's given you your family. God's the one that's placed you where you are in life and put you, you know, in the certain location and all these different things. God has placed those upon you. God's the one that is the only one that can do something about what's going on in your life. He's the only one who can truly heal that health concern. He's the only one who can truly solve that financial problem. He's the only one who can truly heal your family. God's the only one that can do anything about it. So give your burden over to Him. He's like a loving Heavenly Father. Some people, they have a poor picture of that. But I'm so thankful for my Heavenly Father who loves me unconditionally. His compassion fails not. His mercies are new every morning. And He loves you, my friend. He cares about everything that's going on in your life right now. And He cares about where you're going to be in 10 years. God knows all those different details. So come to Him with your burdens. Come to Him with your requests. Come to Him with what is so real and true to your heart. And say, God, this is what's on my mind. When you wake up in the morning, it's on your mind. When you go to bed at night, it keeps you awake because it's on your mind. Give that burden over to God. You know, when I think about peace, sometimes I get the wrong picture. I think that peace is being in control. It's not. You know, so we talk about driving. Micah and Nate have been gracious to share the load on the driving. I'll just be honest with you. I can be one of the world's worst backseat drivers. You know, I'll be like, man, did he even see that stop sign? You know, like, does he even know that there's such a thing as a speed limit? You know, man, I could have taken that turn better. You know, what kind of park job is that? All these different questions. And, you know, and I'm like, hey, the speed limit is not a suggestion. You know, all these different things, you know, these thoughts that pop in my mind, you know, I'm like, man, I want to be in control. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, we're not going to make it or something like that. And then I get behind the steering wheel and I find out I'm not the driver I cracked myself up to be. But anyway, you know, like, yeah, you know, sometimes we think, you know, Pete, I want to be in control and I can be that control freak, if you would. Try to, you know, be in control of this and be in control of that and all these different things. Well, if I make all these different things happen and all this and whatever, and certainly God wants us to be responsible, take initiative, have a work ethic. But then to go beyond that and to say, you know what, these problems that are not mine, I'm going to take them on. You know, I'm going to try to figure everything out. You know, and when I figure everything out and I have all these different questions in my life, you know, am I ever going to get married? You know, where am I going to live? You know, how's this going to work? How am I going to financially afford this? And all these different questions, like when I figure out all these questions, then I'll have peace. That's not peace. Peace is not being in control. Peace is realizing He's in control. And saying, God, I just give you my heart. As they sang today, I give you my life. God, whatever you want from me, I'm yours. Saying, God, you're in control of my life. Give your burdens over to God. And that leads us to our third point. Verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You can't even describe it. Shall keep, literally guard, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's what he's talking about. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Give your burdens over to God and get your eyes back on Jesus. He says, through Christ Jesus. He's the only one that can give true peace. You know, there's the story of a girl in a train. And it's going across these mountains. It's going so fast. It was told to get these dispatches to the next location, you know, at a certain, you know, amount of time. And so it's just racing. And all the passengers, you know, they're tossing left and right. And they're heaving up and down and so forth. And you know, they're holding their breath with anticipation. Are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? All these different questions, you know, and they're fearing for their lives. But there was one on that train who knew nothing of their fears. And that was the child of the engineer. And when they came to the girl and they said, why aren't you afraid? You know, don't you worry about what's going to happen today? And she said, no. Why should I be afraid? My father's at the engine. For a child of God, what should it mean to us to know that He is on the throne? To know that He is in control. To know that our God makes no mistakes. And to realize that He's the engineer on our train. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, Thou, God, wilt keep him, you and me, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Say, God, I want to get my eyes back on You. We could talk about Peter, could we not? The only mortal man to walk on water. But he started to fall when? his eyes got off Jesus. Maybe today you're here, and I'm so thankful that you're here. I appreciate your endurance through this message and the wonderful, you know, graciousness that you've given to us. I've felt so at home here. But maybe you're coming here and you say, you know what? I realize that I've got my eyes off of Jesus. Maybe it's on, you know, a certain situation back home, a certain financial struggle, a certain health concern. And someone said this, there's a difference between a concern and a worry. A concern is something you control. A worry is something that controls you. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I realize that some anxiety, some anxious cares, some worry has been controlling me and getting my eyes off of our Lord. And today, God is inviting you to come to Him, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and He will give you rest. Take His yoke upon you and learn of Him, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He invites you to come to Him. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Isaiah 48, 18, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. I wish you'd listened. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. You know, for me in my life, as we wrap things up today, I know that often I can live without peace because I get these burdens on my heart or these cares on me that God doesn't want me to have. This anxiety or this worry or these things that, you know, consume my life instead of keeping my focus on Him, instead of giving my worries and my burdens over to Him. And then asking God to help me and to enable me with the responsibilities that He's given. And my burden for you in this message, if there's a burden that's on your heart, or you say, you know what, there's something in my life that I need to give over to God, then won't you give it over to Him? He invites you to. He says, come boldly into the throne of grace. God wants to help you. Whatever it is that's on your heart, it's on His as well. And He's the only one that can do anything about it. I'd like to ask every head bowed, every eye closed. This pastor is coming. I just simply want to ask one question. How many of you'd say, heads bowed, eyes are closed, you say, something in the message spoke to my heart, and I'd like you to pray for me. I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. You'd say, you know what, there's something in the message today, maybe it's about worries or about a burden, that unconfessed sin, whatever it may be. I don't need to know the details, but I would like to pray for you. If that's you, would you simply raise your hand so I could see it? Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you all across the room. Anyone else who say, please pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Pastor, I'll let you close. You see.
The Word of God has spoken to your heart, and you feel like you need to come forward, come and kneel here in the front. These chairs that are available, and just pour out your heart to God and know that He can deliver you, He can heal you, He can encourage you, and we are so thankful that we can enjoy not just peace with God, but the peace of God.